Are you ready for a change? Be it physical, mental, or emotional change, you've already got what it takes to make that happen. Your host for the upcoming program, the Matt Newton Power Hour, has trained in martial arts over the course of several decades. Time and time again, his training methods have saved or extended the careers of dozens of NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball stars. Matt Newton has authored two highly acclaimed books, A Path to Power and The D Factor. The Matt Newton Power Hour starts now. Here's Matt. I've got the
power. Let's do a live radio broadcast.
Hey, y'all ready to hang?
And I mean everybody, everywhere. What's up, gang? I'm Mac Newton, and welcome back to the Power Hour. Yeah, this is the place we are every Thursday at 5. Man, is hot outside. Wow. When it shows up in Phoenix, Arizona. What do you think about 112 degrees, Magic Man?
I'm definitely, you know, went to a barbecue pool party, swimming over the weekend.
I'm down with it. What about you? Natasha, the fabulous Natasha, in the house.
I don't like it.
What? What?
I don't like it.
Open the door. Let her out. You don't like it? What about 112 can you not like?
Exactly. What's there to like?
What's 112?
Wow.
I live for that. Yes, I love that. I put up with October and November, you know, and February and March and April.
Those are tough months in Arizona.
I put up with that just to get to this. Mid-June. Ouch. A-Bomb is sitting with us too. A-Bomb, come on now. Tell me. Tell me. What do you think of 112? Say something good.
It's a dry day.
We didn't even hear you. Speak up, baby. Come on. Tell us it again.
It's a dry day.
Nobody believes that. Oh, no doubt about that. Oh, my goodness. Hey, gang, as I said, I'm Mac Newton. This is the Power Hour, sitting in with the magic man behind the glass. Welcome back to the house, my man.
Thank you, Mac.
Good to see you. Good to see you again. And of course, the fabulous Natasha, sitting in her customary seat. Give it up.
Hello, everybody.
How you doing, darling? What's up?
I'm doing fabulous.
Have you been shopping today?
Not yet.
Oh.
But the day is not over yet.
Oh, the day is young.
Yes, it's still young.
And
it's hot outside. What else should I do? What a girl do? Shop.
So, what happens when it gets hot? You go shopping?
Shop. It's cool at the mall.
True that. Well, anyway. Oh, man. It's my time of the year. The desert is beautiful in the summertime. You know what? If you can deal with the Gila monsters and the rattlesnakes and the scorpions, you got it made. Not to worry. Oh, man, it is now exactly 3 minutes past the hour here. Beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona, and the sun is wall to wall. I haven't even seen a cloud in 5 days. I mean, even seen one. Have you seen one, Magic Man?
I think it's too hot for them as well.
I thought I saw one yesterday, but it was just a puff of smoke.
You know, the moon is huge during the nighttime.
Well, it was. I think it's back up in the sky now. It was really huge. You know what? The summer solstice was 2 days ago. You know, that's kind of an unusual thing. Let's go. You know what? It is amazing. Here we did all that chatting. Start that all over again, just like we're just starting the show all over again. You know, just start that again. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Y'all ready to hang?
You know it, yeah. Okay. Wayman Tisdale, our musical guest, knows I've done this before, twice. We got lots of information coming to you about my friend, someone I was very blessed to call my friend, Wayman and Regina Tisdale. But as I was saying about the summer solstice, you know what? I think that's bad science. Because it's all based upon what? The summer, the sun being at its highest peak or furthest distance or closest to the sun in the Western Hemisphere. Isn't it something like that? I don't know. But anyway, I think that's exactly the opposite of what it is. I think the Earth is furthest away from the sun in the summer, like in July, is just tilted differently. So anyway, this whole solstice thing, I think it's been practiced by lots of different cultures over the time, and I'm not sure what it means. It's supposed to be the longest day of the year, but you know what? It was the longest day of the year 2 days ago. It immediately starts getting shorter. That's no fun. I needed to be hot longer. I wanted to be hot forever.
Well, you are hot.
Oh.
It looks like you're staying this way forever.
Oh, God. Okay. There we go, Wayman Lawrence Tisdale, our musical guest host. You know, one of the really, really nice guys in the musical industry, multi-talented. You know, I first heard about Wayman Tisdale when he was playing basketball at the University of Oklahoma. You probably did. Oh, wait a minute. What's up? What happened? There was an outburst here in the studio. You know about Oklahoma? What's up with that?
I'm a native of Oklahoma.
A native of Oklahoma? I won't hold that against you. Did you really? You
yes,
both
sir.
At the same time. That deserves an applause right there. Give it up. The A-bomb went to school. Did you take any classes with him? Did you guys date or anything like that? You can't even count
that
up.
Huh? I was nowhere in
his hemisphere. He's a star. And, you know, well, anyway, he went to the University of Oklahoma, and it was a professional basketball player, and part of the time right here in Phoenix with the Phoenix Suns. Yes, and that's where I met him and his lovely wife, Regina, when he came and started playing and wanted to work out with me in the off season. And I tell you, this guy, you know what? There are three guys I've met in the pros. One is Chris Jones. The other is, I'll just say L Train. And the other is Wayman Tisdale. If you don't like these guys, I don't trust you. Something's wrong with you. And Wayman Tisdale is in that category. Wayman and Regina, the nicest people you will ever, ever meet. And in the summer, I think it was the summer of, or at least late spring of 2009, we lost Wayman due to complications following bone cancer. And but anyway, just watching him and, you know, and sometimes going to his concerts and going backstage with him, always just a gentleman. Wayman Tisdale, our musical guest host, with his CD, Hang Time. All right, go out and get it. Put it in your collection. We're going to share lots of information, tell you lots about Wayman's life and his family and his basketball career. And as we get into a show today, we've got a great show on tap for you guys today. I mean, a different kind of a show. I'm going to shock you today. Rarely would I say such a thing, but I could almost guarantee I'm going to talk about something which is going to shock you today. I'm going to talk about something which, if I take 1,000 people, 999 will be shocked by my early segment. All right? I'm going to talk about competition. All right? I'm going to talk about competition, and I'm going to shock you with this approach to competition. All right, so our musical guest host, the great Wayman Tisdale, and our early segment is going to be about competition. Our main topic, part five, how to control your mental life. But of course, right now, at this point, all the time, at 8 minutes past the hour, it's time for shout outs. Shout outs, shout outs. It's time for shout-outs. And we have a brand new addition to our shout-outs. He calls himself our westernmost listener. I think that's the way he said it in his email. This is for Ryan Hodges, our new shout-out. He's from Anchorage, Alaska. And he loves the show and our furthest west listener. And so I challenged him on that, because he's, I guess, is he from Nome or from, I'm not sure where he's from, somewhere in Alaska. I thought it was, yeah, I guess he's from Nome. He says, where it's midnight and the sun is still shining bright. Loves the show. Well, glad you're a friend of the show, Ryan. But I have friends, listeners in the show in the Philippines and in Japan and all throughout Asia. He says, yes, but in the Western Hemisphere, we are the westernmost listeners. And I can't argue with that. So we got to give him a...
Technicality.
Yeah, technicality, but we're going to give him a shout out for it anyway, Magic Man. Give it up. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely give it up for Ryan. All right, Ryan and his wife, Nikki, who actually I've had the pleasure of meeting them both. They were in Phoenix not that long ago and came by with a Blair Singers group and worked out with me. And in fact, his wife, Nikki, I think ripped all the skin off of her feet after doing about 30 mountain climbers. So I shall never forget her. I remember her propping her foot up on my knee while I taped it up and continued counting. Didn't miss a beat. As it just bled all over everything. And she's thinking right now, that wasn't funny at the time, Mac Daddy. Well, of course. Everything in, you know, hindsight, retrospect, it's funny. So, our latest shout out. But now we got to get back. Hey, Kurt in the UK, back in England. And, of course, with the other Mac. You know, Mac in the UK. My brother from another mother, Veronica G in the Philippines. Larry and Kimmy, yes, here in the Valley. DZ in Michigan, working out online and getting in shape. Chris and Nick here in the Valley. And of course, what would a shout-out list be without GA in GA, who sent us another email. I'm not sure where it is. I got it around here somewhere. We'll get to it. Barry and all the boys in Taekwondo in Chicago. Nick and my extended family out in Denver. Shout-outs coming your way. Gwen getting ready for her test, the 7th degree, in Dallas next month. And Alfredo down in Mexico. Yes, if you guys are getting the feeling that we are international, you are correct. The Mac Daddy's all over the world and it's getting bigger. It's blowing up. Andy in Spain. Al in South FLA. That's our shout-out list, gang. Every single week, I try to get that thing over where I can at least start my early segment. It's 12 minutes past the hour. Start the early segment, and today I'm going to start it. I don't care what. I'm going to start it, and we're going to take our quarter-hour break. All right. Yeah, well, you know what? It's great when I have a chance to communicate with some of you guys out there. So if you have emails you want to send me, send it to 7, S-E-V-E-N, at macnewton.com, and it'll come right here to my desk. Right here to my desk. And I will look at it. Okay? I read them all. Don't always answer them, but I read them all. Try and make it compelling. Say something crazy, and then I will definitely answer it. Okay? Or call the police on you. One or the other. So, one or the other. Got a direct line to the police departments all around the world. Universal 911. Go get them. So, don't do anything crazy. Okay. You know, I'll tell you something, gang. It was in the 60s when I saw an interview with Walt Disney. Yeah, that Walt Disney. He was alive. And he was being interviewed on television. And I was immediately caught up because, I mean, who, you know, if you grew up in America and, you know, you didn't get involved with Mickey Mouse and all the animation of Walt Disney, right? You know, because, and any, you know, innovation with color and movement and sound, and he's just, it's amazing. So here he is being interviewed, and his mannerisms are so kindly. He just kind of looked and moved like a very kind person. So as soon as you saw him, you were immediately relaxed. Even though it was on television, you sort of feel his presence and his aura. It was a very calming aura about Walt Disney. And the interviewer said, Mr. Disney, Don't you get upset when you hear people, or you see people ripping you off, just stealing all of your ideas about animation and cartooning and things like that? And doesn't that just tick you off or upset you? Or what do you think about that? And he just smiled and sat there for a moment. And then finally he says, well, you know, it doesn't bother me at all. As a matter of fact, I kind of like it. Because by the time they figure out what and how I do what I'm doing, I've already moved on to something else. And I realize that the people who are stealing my ideas are competing with me. And the best they can be is at competing with me is to imitate. So they're becoming better at imitating what I do. They don't understand why I do it or how. They're just imitating it. And the more you imitate, it dulls your creativity and your imagination. He says, and so that's why I don't bother wasting any time thinking about that. I was amazed. It was one of those moments that just changes your life right on the spot. And I'm thinking, wow. He doesn't compete. He creates. And all of a sudden I started thinking about how I behaved in my life. How since I was like 4 years old, you got to go out there and outrun everybody. You got to outjump them. And then as an adult, you got to outsell them. You got to outperform. You got to just outdo them. You got to go beat that team, win that, go do it. You've got to compete. So competition was always drilled into me as a virtue of the highest order. One that could never be argued against. But yet and still, as this was replayed in my mind over and over with Walt Disney, whenever I would listen to conversations on this topic of competition, no one ever argued against it. Well, as time went on, I borrowed that philosophy, hook, line, and sinker, at first in my business. And as time went on and I got better at it, eventually in my life and in my interpersonal relationships, to stop competing. And after our break, I'm going to tell you how you can too. I'm going to tell you the difference between creativity and competition. I'm going to tell you the difference between initiative and competition. I'm going to tell you how you can change your life right now on the spot. And I told you I'd shock you. Hey, I'm Mac Newton. This is the Power Hour. We do it every Thursday at 5. Stay right where you are. We'll be right back right now. I got to run off and sell something. Hi gang, I'm Mac Newton. I want to remind you of something that's kind of cool. You know, on YouTube, they have this program now where they will create actually channels for people who love to upload videos, which I am one. We've got probably 20 videos uploaded right now on YouTube, and they're all about things that I've done in the past. Might be interesting to you as listeners of the Power Hour. We've got all kind of old Power Hour shows that are uploaded. Yeah, shows where the Power Hour was on television, where I'm talking about the 3-2 eating plan, and we've got demonstrations of self-defense and kids on, and all kind of interviews with musicians and a lot of famous people, all uploaded there on YouTube. And here's what is something special. I've got a free Minimax 7-minute workout for you, a complete total body workout that's available for you on YouTube free. Log on, youtube.com. put in the name Mac Newton, okay, or Mac Newton Channel, and you'll go right there. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor when you go there, gang. I want you to subscribe to my channel. This is going to allow me later on to become partners with YouTube, and sooner or later, maybe then I'll be able to get even my online workouts out there more than ever before. And speaking of my online workouts, they are doing great. You guys are loving it, and we're making changes based on the things you suggest. And in fact, this free workout is one of the things you've suggested. We got more coming. So log on to YouTube and check out all of these videos, all kinds of stuff. Going back when I had long hair. You want to see that? I know you do. Okay, gang. Hey, we'll see you soon. Hey gang, welcome back. I'm Mac Newton. Our musical guest host for the Power Hour today. 23rd of June. Good Lord have mercy. Did I just say the 23rd of June? 2011? Flying by. I've got to push the pause button. I've got to slow this year down. It's going to be Christmas day after tomorrow. You know, I'm serious. Boy, did I ever tell you how it is when you age? It seems to take you about 40 years to get to 21. You know, when you're a teenager, you're like, I gotta get to be 21.
I think I'm starting to figure it out.
Yeah, you saw. I know. you know, Natasha, when you want to get to be 21 years old. Oh, I want to be 21 so I can drink, I can go out, I can stay out all night if I want to. Nobody can tell me what to do anymore.
It was 18 in Russia.
Yeah, well, it takes you about 40 to get there. And once you get to 21, it takes about a year and a half to get to be 30. All right, start speeding up. By the time you get to be 40, it's about 6 months to 50. It starts flying by faster. About a week and a half to 60. Whoa! So if you're young, just take your time. Go one day at a time. Enjoy every moment. Hey, we're listening to the fabulous electric bass of Wayman Tisdale. You like it, don't you, gang? Saying, ain't no stopping us now. Yeah, this is his version he did for the Phoenix Suns. They didn't quite come through that year. Maybe this is their year. You know, I was watching. You know, the NBA draft is today or tomorrow. I'm not sure when it is. On NBA TV, they've been replaying old drafts. And from 1996, do you know there were 12 people drafted in front of Kobe Bryant? Yes.
No, I had no idea.
Including Starberry.
Oh, what a bust.
Oh, wow. And somebody named Todd Fuller.
Exactly.
Yes, some guy named Todd Fuller was drafted in front of... What? Who is Todd Fuller? Maybe he sells brushes. I don't know. But, you know, if you're too young, you wouldn't get that joke. You know, Natasha didn't get the Fuller brush. Never mind. If you have to explain the joke, you know, it's too. You got it. Did you get it, A-Bob? Yeah. You got that one, didn't you? Yeah, okay, fine. Cool. Oh, let's see, too. The fabulous Wayman Tisdale. Ain't no stopping us now. Bringing us back to the Power Hour. Yeah. Bring us back to the Power Hour. The way I said it, gang, on my post yesterday, or 4 days ago, I'm not sure when it was. I says, we've all been told that we must compete in order to succeed. Who in this room, or who listening to me, has not been told that you have to compete? Magic Man, have you been told that?
Oh, I mean, you know, from starting in Little League and everything.
Of course,
I mean,
it's gotta compete.
From a young age, you got to win.
You got to compete. Got to compete. Right. If you can outrun, outsell, outdo the others, you'll be praised and succeed. I don't think so. I don't think that way. Not anymore. Because like I told you about when I heard, you know, Mr. Walt Disney talk about the effects of competition on creativity and initiative, all of a sudden, I could see the possibilities just multiplying in my brain. And I'm going to explain it to you. And it's going to shock you. You're already shocked already, I think. I can tell. I don't compete. I create. Now, I got lots of comments on, you know, on Facebook. And one of the ones that was the most disturbing was one said, "That's because you are the best." No. If I am the best, that's why I am the best. Someone said, "Well, I am the best, so I can stop competing." I didn't. In other words, he's implying I got to be the best by competing. No. If I am the best, that's why I am the best. I stopped competing. I started creating. I know the difference between competition and initiative. I'm going to explain that to you, too. Because I believe in creativity and initiative, competition makes you dull. It's like dulling the blade on a sharp kitchen knife. It makes you imitative and burned out. It depresses your imagination, stimulates imitation. Two things I want no part of. Creativity and initiative, on the other hand, builds self-reliance and a can-do attitude. In a nutshell, that's my opinion about it. Now, let's go into my notes. Let's go into the words and how I see. I mean, if you've always believed that being a highly competitive person is a habit that is necessary for success, then you're in for a big surprise here. This is going to open your eyes. This is going to open your eyes to the real truths about you that you've never considered before. I had in addition to the things that I learned from Walt Disney, I also learned more on this topic in John Wooden's biography, the former coach of UCLA, who knows a thing or two about winning, and a very interesting book by Margaret Beecher entitled Beyond Success and Failure, where she talks tremendously about philosophy of competition. I took some very interesting notes there. All of my life, I've been told that I must compete in order to succeed. You know, that, I mean, from Little League. You know, I mean, to working in the corporate world. You know, the war cry is exactly the same. You know, beat that team, beat the other guys, beat the other guys, and rarely a day goes by, no matter what your age or your status is, when you don't find yourselves competing for something in some way. I mean, whether it's a very newly created position in your company or the last parking space at the grocery store. I mean, there's got to be a better way of living our lives than I'm talking about this tension-filled hell of constant competition. And see, people don't understand, and they don't even point a finger at competition as the reason why you see so many doctors that don't want to doctor anymore, pilots that don't want to fly anymore, teachers that don't want to teach, nurses that don't want to nurse, politicians don't want to politic anymore because of the competition. They're just burned out. And the thing about it is, competition doesn't even nurture excellence. It nurtures mediocrity. Why? Because it's nothing but a monkey see, monkey do, and me imitate you. Just like all the people who are imitating Walt Disney. They never made anything any better. They just imitated. So they depressed their own imagination. Walt Disney was the only one making things better. Why? Because he didn't compete. He created. It's like the people here in town, always they're trying to imitate me all around. And people, did that bother you, Mac? Did it bother you? You've seen it, A-Bomb. People imitating me. We have a Mac class over here. And you see me laugh at that. They're imitating me. How good can they be? I would rather be great being me than mediocre imitating me. you to listen carefully during this segment, gang. Because I'm not going to do it twice. And as I said to you at the top, even if we have to take this all the way to the end of the show today, I want to get certain points across. Because this is not one of those things that's got to resonate with you for a long time. This is something you can change right now, on the spot, immediately, today. You can change how you live your life. I mean, let's face it, every challenge that comes into your life that you accept, every problem that you resolve, every opportunity you take, you want to take advantage of, calls for a form of personal initiative. And initiative produces self-reliance. But it produces a self-reliance with you setting the standards, with you establishing the values. Whereas competing with others means that you allow them to set your goals, your values, even the rewards that are supposedly to come from this competition, if you win, are set by someone else. Okay, starting to get the point now, aren't you? Automatically, you're starting to think already. Wow. Never thought about it that way, isn't it right? Zach, I mean, you're thinking, wait a minute, I never thought about that. I never looked at it from that perspective.
No, I'm definitely not.
I mean, you can think about, and okay, let's just take business and all that out of it for just a moment, and let's just think about interpersonal relationships for a second. We'll come back to all this stuff. I know people who will boast and say, I never lose at anything. I don't care if it's a ping pong game. I got to win. Fathers who've got to elbow their little 10-year-olds and make layups. And cheat to beat their kids at pool. I've seen parents have to have police called on them at Little League games and carted off the field. Remember this, gang. Competition always places your life in the hands of others, while initiative and creativity give you the freedom to choose your own destiny through your own values. I'm going to tell you something I feel very strongly about. Competition degrades the mind. It is one of the most prevalent and certainly the most destructive of all the many forms of psychological dependence. Eventually, if you don't overcome it, it produces a dull, imitative, insensitive, mediocre, and burned out individual. Not only, and before you burn out, you're going to be stereotyped into predictable behavior. And you know it's true. You know it's true because you're thinking about it right now. You're saying, Mac, you're right. There are people that would rather quit what they're doing than do it for another moment. But you know, it's got to be a better answer than retreating to the forest and the woods of Montana to live your life. To try to get away from all this life created by the competition. But let me just go into the relationship, as I said I was going to do for a moment. Let's say, instead of feeling you have to win every encounter because you've been taught since you were three to compete, outrun, outdo, outthink, out, just be better. Gotta win. But let's say I take the initiative to resolve this conflict. I take the initiative to use my creativity to find a different way to resolve what's going on instead of simply having to win. That's far out, don't you think, Zach? Oh my goodness gracious. All of a sudden, we've got something that works. That makes sense to you, Natasha? Does that make any sense at all here?
Yes, it does. It makes perfect sense. But still, I have a question for you, Mac. Well, let's see. The way I understand, you're talking about insane amount of competition in everybody, And we compete sometimes for no reason, just because we were taught the certain way or we want to win for no reasons. But in sports or in some parts of life, the certain and healthy amount of competition, it seems to be okay. What do you think? Is it okay to have sense of competition at all or just eliminate it?
Well, you know what? This is the competition has frequently been confused with initiative. And so they use these phrases like healthy competition to explain away its destructive nature. And you use the correct phrase, an insane amount of competition. One team going in to play another team in and of itself is not bad. I've been to dozens of tournaments. On my back of my t-shirt, it shows, show up, be who you are, do what you do. If I'm good enough, I win. My life is not going to be defined about it. I'm going to do what I do according to the values and principles by which I live. So I can certainly have this healthy competition in that form. So in that way, yes, I can compete. I've been to hundreds of tournaments. I've never gone in there having watched videos of other people competing so that I can watch and see what someone else did to them and I can imitate it, which of course reduces my own creativity. And see, the thing about, and I'll get to this in a minute, more about this in a minute, is that, you see, is how I teach Taekwondo. You don't have to remember the difference between an inward block and an outward block. The circumstances of the situation will determine that. As soon as you see that, it will automatically define itself. That is the freedom that creativity and initiative gives you. You are not bound by certain measures of what you should do under certain conditions that competition demands. You will be far more free to act within the whatever is appropriate for that situation. In other words, you're opening with a free mind. You're operating off with a free mind, open, free mind, far more specific, spontaneous, and appropriate to the time. Let me even go further. I love that question. Thank you for asking it. You might consider it answered, but not quite. Now, in addition to being, as I said earlier, dull, imitative, insensitive, mediocre, burned out, stereotyped, this is an individual who is also devoid of initiative, imagination, originality, and spontaneity. In football, they have a name for it. What's the name they have for it, Zach?
I think I'm missing the name.
Parody.
A parody. I hear that all the time on the radio, actually, and I didn't get what it means. Now I got it.
Got it. You know what that means? Everybody's the same. Sameness. What's another word for that? Mediocrity. So where's your excellence? So where's your excellence in performance? They're not striving for excellence in performance. They're striving for mediocrity. So they can control everything that happens. So everything, all the play is being controlled by somebody else. Not even the players on the field. Am I answering your question?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
You did it perfect.
See? Parody. These people, in my estimation, in terms of creativity, spontaneity, and initiative, personal initiative to be able to initiate something, to take something that's already being done and do it better or create something completely new, depending upon what the needs are. In that definition, these people are dead. In other words, competition produces zombies. The Walking Dead. Just mindlessly following instructions. Imagine this. Okay, you're playing football. You got offensive tackle on an offensive guard. Blocking. Okay, you just had, I want you to go out there and compete. Block that guy. Pancake him. Knock him down. Block. But soon as somebody decides, I don't want to block anymore. I'm going to sidestep him, take my arm and push him and go around him. What was that? Now, everyone has got to imitate that. Okay. No, not even try for something even more different, but imitate that. Every time you see one of these new these teams win using anything new or different, everyone else, instead of buying into initiative and creativity, knew they will simply go and do what all the others tried to do to Walt Disney, which is what?
Rip them off.
Imitate. You got it. Rip them off. Everyone could be doing the same
offense.
Thing. I'm sorry?
The wildcat offense.
Thank you. Where is it these days, by the way? Okay. Competition is a process or a variety of habitual behaviors that grows out of a habit of training or thinking. It really originates from our needs to imitate others, set up in early childhood, in my opinion at least. But it's a sign of persistent adolescence that continues long after adolescence is over. To me, a person who wants to continue to compete into adult life, I think it's a sign of retarded psychological development in my mind. You haven't learned how to utilize the full breadth, width, and depth of your personality, your character. Because all you do, this persisting childishness of what do you see in children? Monkey see, monkey do, monkey see, monkey do. That's what I'm talking about here, right? I told you I was going to shock you.
Oh, you sure did.
Yeah, sure. I told you I was going to shock you. Because no one ever argues against competition, do they? You never hear an argument against competition. You hear the words, healthy competition. You've got to go out there and compete. Yes. The habit of competing is so widespread that many people firmly believe that it is a law of nature. Competition is frequently praised as a great virtue that everyone should develop. When, as we're discussing already, it's nothing more than a sure path to burnout and along the way, mediocre performance at best. That's what you get with competing, as opposed to initiative and creativity, which I'm going to get to right after this break game. My name is Mac Nude. This is the Power Hour. Don't go anywhere like I thought you were, because you're glued to your computer right now. You're glued listening to this right now. Yes, you are, and well, you should be, because this can change your life this moment. I know it's time for a break because I hear the soothing sounds of Wayman Tisdale in my headphones. You guys stay right where you are. We'll be right back. Natasha's going to go sell something. I think it's her time to go sell something. If not, it should be. All right, gang. Don't go anywhere. My name's Mac Newton. The Magic Man's behind the glass. And, of course, A-Bomb is sitting in with our studio audience today. We'll be right back.
Hi everyone, this is Zach Geist, also known as the Magic Man. The Power Hour is brought to you by Newton Fitness Online, the same high conditioning and training that Mac Newton provides in his beautiful Central Phoenix, Arizona location is now available to you online, 24 hours a day. It couldn't be easier. Just log on to MacNewton.com and go to Mac's gym. Yep, his gym is online now. Just go and select your fitness level and go to class. Okay, don't put it off. Go to MacNewton.com now, check it out, and get in the best shape of your life.
Hey gang, I'm Mac Newton. I want to give you a little bit of an update on what's going on with our championship level goal setting program. It is taking off like a rocket ship. Now, I realize I don't have a place online where you can order it. However, you can call my office and speak to Lisa, 602-957-6492, and you can reserve your copy of Championship Level Goal Setting, which will give you a 2-CD program along with a workbook. The CDs will guide you through the voice with you and members of your team, either in your office or in family, through the entire Championship Level Goal Setting program. It is amazing. As a matter of fact, pretty soon, Blair and I will be embarking on a tour where we're going to be demonstrating this live and in person. So if you see us coming to your area, be sure and jump on board. The Championship Level Goal Setting Program is now available. We've been talking about it online. You've been hearing about it on Facebook. Now is your chance to get your copy, all right? So call 602-957-6492 and reserve yours right now. Temporarily, copies are limited, so jump in and make sure you are not left behind. Welcome back, gang. I'm Mac Newton. This is the Power Hour. Wait a minute, Tisdale stroking that electric bass in the background. Yeah, told you I was going to shock you. Yes. You know what? I ended with kind of a controversial statement. I said, unless we check it, and if we allow competition to run amok as we progress through life, eventually it'll be a sign of retarded psychological development, just sort of a persisting childishness in our thinking of monkey see, monkey do behavior. We are then trapped in a never-ending cycle of imitation, unable to get out of it, waiting for the next thing to show us what to do. And until something else comes along, we won't be able to do anything at all. Because our ability to initiate or create, non-existent. We're trapped. And don't we see that? We see it in writers. We have a name for it. It's called writer's block. So they sit down and start reading stuff. As I said, competition enslaves and degrades the mind. Certainly one of the most destructive of all the many forms of psychological dependence. Yeah. Okay. That's, you know what? That's the beauty of being a musician. He's passed away. He's passed on. Still here with us. Reminding us of his creativity. And one of the first to say, let me take this electric bass and make a, instead of just putting it in the back as a part of the rhythm section, let me take it out front and make a lead instrument out of it. I like that. So, yeah, Wayman, gone, never forgot. In fact, not even gone. And by the way, all my best to Regina. If you're listening, you know, we think about you often. So many things here now. I got your mind stimulated. Because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about an open mind, a free mind. You know? Competition said is frequently, you know, praised as a great virtue. Well, that's a very costly misunderstanding. Since human skills really develop adequately only in cooperation, you know, a form of reinforcement. Competition always lies at cross purposes with cooperation, and as a result, it just frustrates all human initiative. All you can do is compete. Imitate. Let me see what you do, and then I'll do the same thing. You go first. Let me see what you do. Oh, okay. As I said, this unfortunate misunderstanding arises in the fact that people seem to see some form of a resemblance, superficial as it may be, between initiative and competition, at least early in the game, and you may even be thinking along those lines right now. Many even regard creativity / initiative and competition as identical, which is much like mistaking mushrooms with toadstools. Now, I'm not sure what they call toadstools in Russia, but here we call them poison.
Oh, that's the sort of mushrooms?
Yes, sort of, but not one you want to put in your mouth.
Okay.
They look a lot like mushrooms, but they're not.
Is this the red ones with white spots?
No, they're come in all different shapes and forms.
Oh, okay.
Just like competition. And it has to be recognized. You see, competition looks a lot like initiative, but it's not.
It could be fake. Huh?
So, unless we can clearly see the difference between the two, you can't hope to avoid the consequences that comes with endless competition. It seems to try in every way to imitate initiative. But the sad reality remains. We compete with others only in those situations in which we are afraid and defective in personal creativity and initiative. Only when we are deficient in those do we create. And since initiative and creativity is infinite, the circumstances under which pure competition exists doesn't exist. The spontaneity and the appropriateness of creativity and initiative is flexible enough from a free mind to fit any situation, problem, opportunity that may arise. To me, creativity and initiative is two of the most highly prized of all the virtues, of all of them. And as I said earlier, being in a interpersonal relationship and competing within that relationship is to contaminate it. It becomes a way of relating to the relationship itself competitively. And then to the world in general, including other people, and our way of confronting most of the situations of our lives. It's a killer. Competition is a killer because it deprives the individual of accomplishment because you become irresponsible and of personal initiative and creativity. Now, as you think about that, Zach, you can now start to look into your own life and see all the different ways in which you can change it immediately. Are you understanding what I'm talking about, Savannah? Do you understand here? Yeah? Is it making some sense to you? Okay. Now, see, here's the deal. Almost every parent, male or female, because they were brought up that way unknowingly, teaches their child to be competitive and they think it's a good thing. It's the answer is not to not go to a tournament, don't join a little league, no, but to understand the difference between competition and initiative and use those as your motivating factors for being involved. Human problems don't get solved where personal initiative is lacking. Human problems don't get solved when creativity and initiative is not present. In order to solve human problems, and I'm staying with interpersonal relationship and human problems, not because that's what really makes our world go around. Am I correct here?
Yes, right.
That's what makes our world go around. And I don't care where you're living or where you're at listening to my voice right now. And you are being confronted with human problems in your life right now. All of your problems, all of your challenges have hair and talk back. And if you are lacking an initiative or the fear that prohibits initiative, okay, or a lack of confidence that prohibits creativity, and that's where the presence of both of those creates the feeling of self-reliance, because it doesn't matter what happens to you, you feel, I can do it. I can handle it. There's your can-do attitude. Doesn't matter what it is. What do you hear me say in class, A-bomb, all the time? Just tell me about it. You ever heard me say that?
Yes.
When just tell me what it is. I will find the answer. You ever hear me say that? Just tell me. Where is it? Point to it. Rub it. Touch it. Let me see it. It doesn't matter. My feeling is one of complete confidence, a feeling of self-reliance, a feeling of I can do it. You might say, well, gee whiz, isn't that what you need to compete? No, it's what I need to be me, okay? It's what I need to truly be part of a team, to be able to allow the very best elements of myself to come through. Be who you, show up, be who you are, and do what you do. Truly, nothing can take the place of personal initiative in the life of a person. And it's for that reason that I place such value on creativity and initiative and on the individual who has developed it. When you see a person who has the courage for creativity and personal initiative, now you're looking at someone you admire, someone you want to hang around, someone you want to be near. Because initiative is the opposite of competition. And one is the death of the other. Either way, you want to go. You want to compete, develop that as your lifestyle, then that is the death of initiative. You create initiative, then you will kill competition, but you will perform at a much higher level. Bam! That makes sense to you, Zach.
Absolutely, sir.
Makes sense to you, huh? Now, during the break, we were talking about something. You mentioned something to me about Picasso or something like that?
Yeah, it was a quote I had read from him online saying something about good artists copy, great artists steal. I was trying to reconcile with what we were talking about.
Mm-hmm. Say it again.
I had read that Picasso said, good artists copy, great artists steal.
Right. And you asked, and your question to me was, you were wondering how that fit into this in the context of our discussion?
Correct.
Because it didn't
jive in my head there.
Right away. Because the poor artist does what? Copies?
A good artist copies, a great artist steals.
Right. Now, so the good artist is going to copy, imitate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the great artist who steals truly is being inspired. It is stealing the inspiration and the entire concept of higher evolution of thinking. Why? Because initiative is a natural quality of a free mind. And so when your free mind steals the idea of changing your thinking, it doesn't limit it to what you're seeing and imitate that, so you don't copy it. It goes into a totally different direction based on your own initiative. It's a natural. That's what makes the greatness of that particular artist. Now you love being around greatness, so you can steal it and constantly be inspired. One of the things I say in my class all the time, you've got to succeed so you can inspire me. Have you heard me say that before, A-bomb? I said, you've got to succeed. I don't want anyone in my class who can't inspire me with their greatness. I've got to be able to steal that greatness. Because I realize that that initiative is a natural offshoot, a natural quality of a free and open mind. And I don't have to worry about it. It's going to come automatically. It is a totally spontaneous and intuitive response to confronting situations as they arise like waves coming to the shore. I'll say it again. Creativity and initiative is a complete and wholly spontaneous and completely intuitive in its response to situations that confront you. This open mind, this free mind, then, allows one to be in an inner-directed person whose responses and actions are automatic. Competition, on the other hand, is merely an imitative response, and it lags behind while it waits for its direction from someone else. In short, initiative produces spontaneous action, quick, appropriate action, whereas competition produces only delayed reaction to stimuli from someone who is setting the pace. In other words, you've got to see what happens so that you can, in fact, imitate. All right. Did I answer your question for you?
Absolutely. I mean, I almost see it in a way, you know, now if somebody's inspired by things, the way a lot of modern music, you know, they sample something, they make it into a whole new thing. I mean, you can get a whole nother discussion about that.
Sure, exactly. Competition grows out of dependence. It imitates initiative in a very deceptive way sometimes. And as a result, clouds our understanding. The competitive individual trains him or herself to simply outrun their competition. And we may imagine from the result that they're enjoying the fruits of initiative. But they often develop much skill so that they appear masterful and competent. As a result of the success, it's often put in a key position where he now must originate and organize new strategies, okay, in an unstructured situation that demands now imagination, independent, and original thinking. In such situations, that person cannot function since he's been trained only to outrun or imitate situations that already exist. He's no freedom of mind, no creativity to create or improvise new forms, new ideas, new methods. So he spends his working days in a trap until he gets exposed and fired. How clear can I make it? Okay. I told you it would shock you. Competition. All of a sudden, it is not the kind, benevolent family member that puts its arm around our shoulder and helps us through difficult times. Now we see it for what it really is. The evil side. That's the reason we're in the difficult time in the first place. That we have not had an opportunity to create and fulfill our possibilities. And that's the trap we're in, because now we know that's where we stand. Because we have no way. We've been trained forever to only compete against existing patterns. Now, to free your mind from the habit of competition, to say all that to get to this, we've got to see in detail the process by which the mind has been caught up in competition. And the way out of a trap is to know the way it's built. Only then will it cease being a trap. The release from this stranglehold of competition lies in the increase of self-reliance. In other words, you don't have to unlearn English to learn French. You just have to understand the process of creativity and initiative to override the whole concept of competition. That's what I mean by knowing how the trap was built. Okay? It's that simple. And self-dependence, creativity, and initiative accomplishes in a flash what competition can never touch. That's why I say we can change this in just in a moment. We can bring this into our lives right now. Okay. Well, I warned you at the top, game, that we may not get to our main topic today because I knew going in, I wrote this that little blurb on my Facebook page yesterday. And if you are a friend of mine and you are one, or at least Facebook friend, then you already know about that. If you want to send me an email, send it to 7@macnewton.com. And hey, game, do me a favor. If you enjoy the show, tell a friend. We are growing by leaps and bounds all over the world. But you have my word. As long as I feel like doing this, I'm going to continue to do it. And that's the best I can give you on that. As long as I continue to feel like doing it, I'm going to continue to do it. Send me your thoughts, your opinions, your suggestions for future topics. Certainly consider them. And now, as we always do around this point, I'm going to mention that you guys should be good to yourselves. Save your best behavior for those close to you and that you love and who love you. Not just for strangers. Also, be true to yourself. And by that I mean, let your words and behaviors match. Let your thoughts and your actions be congruent. And you know what, gang? It's never too late. It's never, ever too late to fulfill the possibilities that are inside of you. For those of you who are at this moment facing trials, being taken to the edge of what you think represents your life, every one of your values being challenged, whether it's a tremendous financial burdens, whether it's the loss of a loved one, the change in your social status, it's never too late. As long as you have personal initiative and creativity, that you believe in yourself and you have a can-do attitude, and you look up and you see the blue sky and you know you're still here. And if you're still here, you're here for a reason. My great grandma used to always say to me that the good Lord didn't make a stairwell going nowhere. And she always said that every human being is a stairway. That means we're going someplace, gang. I like to say thanks to Bob Adlock. Bob Adlock, in case you're new to the show, is the guy that first put me on TV with the Power Hour. I had no clue. Pat McMahon, man, 20-some years ago, KTAR, he booked me on his radio show to talk about self-defense and had to extend me for 3 15-minute segments. He said I was so good. And encouraged me. Man, did I need some encouragement at that point in my life. And I have thought about him many, many times when things were really dim. And of course, JC up in San Francisco, JB, we still miss you. Zach, the man behind the glass, making it all happen. and of course the fabulous Natasha. Thanks for bringing that beautiful question. It took me in a whole different direction, and I appreciate that. All right. That's why we call it sitting in that chair making the show happen, okay? Our studio audience grows and grows and grows. If you're in town, stop on over. Newton Fitness in Central Phoenix. You can be sit in on the Power Hour as well. A-Bomb, always a pleasure to have you. We've been listening to our musical guest host. That's Raymond Tisdale. Peace. 3, 2, 1. The Mac Daddy is out.